Hello, hello, everyone. We are live. Today is November 17th, 2025. Welcome to everybody jumping in the United States and around the world. We're so happy to have you with us tonight. I have a little friend with me in the office that you'll meet in just a few minutes, but let's see who is jumping on tonight. Oh, I'm watching here. Texas. Hello in Texas and Missouri and Arizona and Georgia. God bless you all. Thank you for joining us. Oh, let's see. Many Texases coming in. Hello, hello. California, Michigan, Florida. God bless you. Western Michigan. Hello, hello. Welcome, welcome. Oh, hello to Washington State, Nashville, Tennessee. Hello to our neighbors in Westchester County, New York. That's about 45 minutes south of us. So actually, I lived in that county for part of my life when I was a kid. So I know that whole area actually pretty well. So hello, thank you for coming in tonight. We're so happy to have you. Cincinnati as well, Louisiana. Oh, I love you guys too. You're very sweet to put that in the chat. I very much appreciate that. Indiana, God bless you. God bless you. So happy to have you. Scotland, hello to our international audience coming in and our friends in Scotland as well as Massachusetts. We're very happy to have you with us tonight. Coconut Creek, Florida, God bless you. The Bronx, New York. Oh, that is my place of birth. Einstein Hospital, Bronx, New York. We're very happy to have you with us. We love our friends in the boroughs down there. Adirondack Mountains, 2 hours north of us. God bless you. Hello to our neighbors there as well. Oh, let's see who else. Malaysia. God bless you all the way across the world in Malaysia. We're so happy to have you with us tonight. Very happy to have you with us. Okay, let's see who else is coming in. Multiple Adirondacks tonight. God bless you both that are in the chat tonight. Very happy to have you with us. Pennsylvania, Arkansas, Wisconsin, I see as well. Oh, let's see. There's a place called Goodnight, Texas. Isn't that interesting? Well, God bless you. Happy to have you with us tonight. Finger Lakes of New York. That's all the way. That's like all the way up and west, I believe, of us. God bless you. Happy to have our neighbors with us in New York as well. Plattsburgh as well. That's also up there. God bless you. Hello to our neighbors in Plattsburgh. Okay. Long Island. We love our Long Islanders. We love that they carry their vowels as long as God will allow them to. And we absolutely love you guys. So thank you for joining us tonight. We'll do a couple more. Oregon as well. Memphis, Tennessee. God bless you. God bless you. Santa Barbara, California. Hello, hello. Ireland. Hello to our friends in Ireland. God bless you. And hello to our Ark of Grace team, our moderators as well. Thank you for helping us do what we do for the Lord. I'm going to open up in prayer as I always do. And we're going to jump into this tonight because we are going to uncover some things here tonight prophetically, including what's going on with America First, including something with AOC that you just have to see prophetically to understand this. But we're going to uncover some of this that we are watching shift in the nation. And as the church, we should be discerning of the time we're in, because as the people of God, right, as servants of the Most High God, as ones who are in covenant with him through Christ Jesus, we have to understand how to move about and function within what's happening within the earth. Not that we're not of the world. Our citizenship is in heaven, but we still have to function within the capacity and confines in a way of the world. And so because of that, we need to understand how to move about and to detect and to discern and to see what is happening, because it gives us a great advantage when it comes to intercession, prayer, our walk with the Lord, with protecting us, with us preparing with the Lord, and pivoting with the Lord when we understand these things. So we're going to get into all of that tonight. First, we're going to open up in prayer, and then you're going to meet our new friend at Ark of Grace. So let's just open up in prayer first, give it over to the Lord, and then we'll start tonight. Father God, in the precious name of your son, Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, Lord, we come before you this day. We praise you. You are almighty God. You are high and lifted up far above every power, principality, and might. Father, we give you all the glory, honor, and praise due your precious holy name. Father, we just humble ourselves before you this day, asking you to forgive us of our sins, cleanse us of all unrighteousness, forgive us of every way we have sinned and fallen short in you, Father. Lord, we just praise you Father, that your mercies are new every single day. And Father, we just, as we humble ourselves before you this day with praise and thanksgiving, saying your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, Father God. Oh Lord, we just acknowledge you sent your son Jesus Christ to the earth. The word became flesh that dwelt among us. He was the Passover lamb and the sacrifice for our sins. He was beaten for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes, we are healed. And when he said it is finished, at Calvary, at the cross, he made an open show and spectacle of the enemy before all of creation. He descended literally into the underworld, took the keys from death, defeated hell, death, and the grave, miraculously rose again, ascended back to be with the Father in heaven, sit at his right hand, ruling victoriously and reigning forevermore. He is the King of kings, the Lord of lords, the name above all names, and our advocate without ceasing before your throne. And we honor that before you this day. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we welcome your presence in the presence of Ruach Elohim, the Spirit of the Living God, and the Ruach HaKadosh, the Holy Spirit, into this place. Father, let your power, your might, your truth, your authority, and the weight of your glory mightily move and saturate the atmosphere. Father, let your presence mightily move and go forth, Father God. Let the Holy Spirit be the counselor and minister to those, Father God, who are watching tonight, Father. Go before us, be our front and rear guard, order our steps tonight, Lord, order my words, I ask in the name of Jesus Christ. Fill us with your wisdom, counsel, might, power, and the reverential fear of the Lord. By the power of the blood of Jesus Christ, by the Spirit of the one true living God, may only the truth and power of Almighty God with authority now come forth, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, let nothing pass through my mouth that doesn't pass through your throne first. Father, allow me and our team the humble privilege of being vessels of your power. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I ask you dispatch, send, and loose your holy angels of all offices, rankings, and divisions to fill this place, to surround the skies, the land above and below, and to guard against every dimensional access point, Father, as we go forth tonight. In the name of Jesus Christ, we take authority over and rebuke every plot, scheme, contract, assignment, weaponry, blueprint, attack, strategy, sabotage, hindrance, interference, violence, slander, intimidation, bullying, harm, threat, witchcraft, sorcery, spells, incantation, curses, dark arts, dark magic of any kind, and command in the name of Jesus Christ to be broken, canceled, aborted, destroyed, dismantled, disabled, thwarted, disrupted, blocked, nullified, voided, disarmed, dismantled, canceled, destroyed, rendered powerless. Their communication lies disrupted so they cannot carry out their plans. And it casts back to the areas you have designated for such, Lord, to be bound there in the name of Jesus Christ and not return, nor have anything sent in its place. And Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, any altars that have been erected bearing my name or image, the name or image of Ark of Grace Ministries of Ark of Grace Sanctuary, we command in the name of Jesus Christ right now be dismantled, destroyed, disabled, nullified, and brought to ash by the holy fire of God. We break the power of all sacrifices or rituals performed on these altars, declaring in the name of Jesus Christ, they will have no impact on me, on this ministry, on the sanctuary, or anyone else in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, we praise you, Father God, Lord, that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, Father God, Lord, that you are an ever-present help in times of trouble, that you are holy, that you are righteous. Your word says, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Father, take all the glory for yourself. We owe you every breath because of your spirit breathed into us, into the dust and clay of the earth. We owe you every breath, Father God, and we praise you and we bless your holy name, Father God. There is none like you. There is none that could ever match you, Lord. And we just submit to you tonight, Father God, as we go forth in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord. We love you. Amen and amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Welcome to those of you who were jumping in during prayer. God's presence is fire. It is. He is a consuming fire. His word says that he is absolutely a consuming fire. So what I want to do before we get into the meat here, because there is a lot of it for us to get into, there's demands for files to be released. There's something happening with America First we're going to uncover. There is something that is just, you could feel it moving about within the nation. So we're going to talk about all this in just a few minutes. But I have him next to me right here. He arrived late Saturday here at Ark of Grace. Our assistant manager, Joe, she flew out to Minnesota with her friend to go get Buster and drive him 18 hours because she's got medical experience to be with us here at Ark of Grace Sanctuary. So I have him on a bed right here. He's sleeping. I'll pick him up for a minute. I want everybody to meet Buster, who is our newest resident at the Ark. He is 12 years young. He is a very senior dog. He is fighting some health issues. Our wonderful vet saw him today and is helping us adjust some things for Buster in order to give him the best rest of his days possible. He's getting along with all the animals very well. Our dogs, thank God, we have a wonderful set of dogs here that are pretty tolerant of new animals coming in. And so Buster is adjusting. As you can see, he is wearing a diaper. So we are working on that with him as well. And he is wearing a little sweater as well. We're going to get him some new sweaters also. But he's doing very well. It was a big trip for him. It was a little traumatic. But his owner in Minnesota, you can pray for her. Her name is Mary Jo, and is fighting a lot of health issues and could not care for Buster anymore. And there's very limited options to take a dog this age, a very senior dog that with health issues. There's very limited options. So our team prayed about it, made a plan, and our dedicated staff physically went out and got Buster. So here he is, our newest member at the Ark, and he's going to sleep while I teach. So you're getting your view of him now. You may see him again at the end, but we're going to put him back on his bed. I've locked the other animals out for sake of keeping down the little bit of crazy until they all get more acclimated to each other. Toby was the most hyper when Buster came. And so basically they've been doing very well together. All right. So, nope, I haven't started yet. Don't worry, I'm starting now. We were just introducing our newest sanctuary resident. He is very cute. He's a toy poodle. So if you're wondering, he is a toy poodle. Okay, so let's begin. Because there's a few things I want to talk about what's going on. So Jeffrey Epstein has come back up. This is like the indigestion and heartburn that just keeps coming round and round and round and round. And it just, you know, it just keeps, it's like reflux. Like it just keeps coming up and up and up. And so it's come up again. And I'm not making light of it in that way, but I'm saying it seems just to circulate. And so it's come back up, and now President Trump, we have the article for you, is demanding now that the House Republicans should now vote to release files involving the Jeffrey Epstein case, a startling reversal after previously fighting the proposal. So let's talk about this for a minute, and then we're going to get into America First, but let's talk about this because let's just think about this for a minute. I've been watching this unfold, right? And I've been just discerning and watching this whole thing with what happened with this unfold, this whole Epstein saga. And President Trump sat there for months and months and allowed House Democrats to get so wound up, and those that are on the fringe of the Republican Party now, to get so wound up about releasing this into a frenzy, thinking President Trump wouldn't call for it because he initially held back. However, in him holding back, the Democrat voting base is now screaming for its release. And you know who's in there? All their big players on their side, and all the big players on the Rhino side, and all the other big players that are somehow interconnected in between are all apparently and allegedly in there. And it's interesting because just as a coup is happening in the Democrat Party, because what you sow, you shall reap. And this is their crop for the Russia hoax, for the 2020 election, for January 6th. All these seeds they planted along with the globalists. Well, now that crop is coming in their own party. The serpents and scorpions are now coming for them. President Trump says, don't release it, don't release it, don't release it, right? The shutdown happens, the elections happen, and then all of a sudden, after the shutdown, And after the elections, and after everybody gets uncovered, and after now that you understand what's happening, the socialist, communist, whatever wing of the Democrat Party that is now emerging to try to completely take over. After all of this, now he says, release the files. He waits. He waits for all of this to take place first, for them to expose themselves through the shutdown, for all these other things to happen first. And he goes, now release them. You see, you know, it's interesting sometimes when people think he's disinterested because he says, don't release it right now. But what really sometimes I think what's going on is it's in a way, you know, you're playing chess. In a way, you're holding on to a move because it's a valuable move. And you want to make sure when you make that valuable move, you can capitalize off of that valuable move as much as possible. And I'm telling you, it appears that President Trump wanted to wait, it seems, until after the elections, Ma'am Donnie's election and the shutdown and all these socialist Democrats that were elected to now release upon them the wave of incrimination attached to their party with these files. It appears he purposely held back and waited until now. Now, we'll see about this. I'm just saying, from what I have been watching, this looks to be what's happening. And so we will keep you posted on that. He has asked for the vote. He has demanded the vote now of the House Republicans. Now we're going to see where this goes. Now we're going to see, because now can I just be honest for a minute before we move on? Don't you think that if in the Epstein files there contained something highly incriminating about President Trump, don't you think when they were trying to bury him from 2023 to 2024 while Joe Biden was president and the Democrats were running Congress, don't you think they would have released it then if they had that kind of nuclear bomb to completely do him in on top of the lawfare and everything else that was being released? Don't you think that if something was in there that was highly incriminating against President Trump, they would have taken it and run with it in 2023, and they wouldn't have swapped out Joe Biden for Kamala Harris because they were out of tricks in their bag? You see what I'm saying? So this really, them screaming and yelling and working up into a frenzy now all came from Trump saying, I'm not releasing it right now. So therefore, in a way, it baited them and it cast enough suspicion to lure them in to work their party and their people up into a frenzy. And now he's going, release it. You see, very interesting. Very interesting what's going on with this. And we will circle back with it as we see this unfold. But the timing now, oh, something else that just dropped in my spirit. Now think about this. He's demanding it be released in the month of November, and the entire month equals 9/11. He has waited and waited and waited until we hit November. Until we hit the month, the 11th month of the year 2025, 2 plus 2 plus 5 is 9, the 11th month is 11, the entire month equals 9/11. That's the month of all months. He now says, I want to vote and I want you to release it. I don't think that's an accident. I think that's quite profound. Okay, so we have that going on. We'll circle back to that as things unfold with that. I don't want to get too much into that now unless other things unfold with it. We're going to just migrate just a little bit down the road. And I'm going to put up two news articles for you, and you'll see where I'm going with this in a minute. But why AOC thinks Schumer's leadership is just the tip of the iceberg for reeling Dems. U.S. Representative Alexandra Ocasio-Cortez, Democrat of New York, blasted the Democratic Party's leadership for allowing Republicans to win the shutdown battle, using the American people and their benefits as pawns. They should have put that in the article. Okay. Speaking to reporters, Ocasio-Cortez slammed a group of eight Senate Democrats who sided with Republicans on a spending deal to reopen the government over the weekend. She also criticized the Trump administration for blocking funding for the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, SNAP, across the country amid the ongoing shutdown. Okay, so iceberg, let me tell you something. This is their Titanic. Let me tell you, it's no accident what is in the title of this article. It's just the tip of the iceberg for reeling. This is their Titanic, if I have ever seen it. Okay, let's put up the second article, and then I'll explain to you where we're going with this. AOC, I fully welcome Trump voters into our coalition after she just blamed the whole administration. Okay. She all of a sudden has pivoted and she's welcoming in Trump voters. Saying we'll welcome in Trump voters, even though she has expressed highly unfavorable views of anybody that voted for Trump. And basically she has gone back and forth on this, but I wanted to show you something very strange about this. The reason why we pulled this article up, right? Because they revisited this article. I think it's from November now. If we could scroll down, I think, if we could scroll, let's see, November 15th, 2025. Okay. In 2019, AOC appears on something called Crooked Media's podcast, called Pod Save America, because of course they want to wipe God out of everything in this nation. And so basically that's the name of the podcast, Pod Save America. Now, I looked at the word crooked. Crooked Media, apostrophe S, so Crooked Media's. And this is back in 2019. Do you know what's hidden within that? Do you know what's hidden within that? The word crooks is hidden within Crooked Media's podcast. The word crooks is hidden in there. That was 2019, right? Now, all of a sudden, in the same article with AOC, this resurfaces, right? And do you know who's come up in the media recently that has the name crooks? Thomas Matthew Crooks. And I'll show you something real fast, and then we'll move on. Because I don't think any of this is an accident. I think it's all connected in the realm of the spirit that then leads into the natural. Thomas Matthew Crooks has come back up into the media, the alleged assassin in Butler, Pennsylvania, against President Trump. Tucker Carlson did a documentary raising a lot of questions, apparently, about this man, his background, that he allegedly had 20, I think, cell phones. They were from different nations as well. Interestingly enough, before we move on, I'll just show you this. I did this in a short, but I'll show you this right now, since that came up in that article with AOC, because the word crooks is in Crooked Media's podcast. And so Thomas Matthew Crooks, Butler, Pennsylvania. Do you know what's hidden within Thomas Matthew Crooks, Butler, Pennsylvania? Remember, that was originally in 2019, what I was talking about when she went on that podcast the first time. What is hidden in it is Orem, Utah, Tyler Killshot, CK. Hidden within this is this. Because there's a lot connected that we don't think, or we didn't initially think, is connected. And a rook in a chess game too. Yes. A rook is also a piece in a chess match, which is another good thing to point out. One of our viewers is pointing out in the chat. So, yep. Thomas Matthew Crooks, Butler, Pennsylvania, Orem, Utah, Tyler Killshot, CK. That's not an accident. These things are very deliberate and they're being hidden under the cover and layers of layers of deception, noise, events, and circumstances, because this is how the kingdom of darkness and its corrupt disciples operate in order to try to open doors to execute future events that they want to accomplish in the nation. Right. So I figured I'd show you that since it came up with AOC. and a podcast she was on. I figured I'd just throw that in there. But let's go back to what is going on with this side of the aisle here, because the socialist wing bringing the outcry right now, right, wants to bring an outcry constantly of revolution, 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 fight, fight, fight. And that's all they're sowing, by the way. That's all they're sowing into the nation. But that revolution is actually steeped in rebellion. That is what is arising out of the abyss of that party. And I will tell you that gone are the days of hippie liberals, honestly, and Kennedy Democrats for the most part, because a socialist coup has taken place on that side of the aisle. And what happened was, is it was a Trojan horse. So the liberals opened their gates because they thought they were receiving a gift in the socialist wing coming and joining them, a gift to help them. And they instead launched an internal attack and a coup. This is a Trojan horse moment right now for the Democratic Party. And that's what happens when those are turned over to a reprobate mind. They cannot see the traps and snares right in front of them because they are deceived. They can't see the truth in front of them. They have been turned over to a reprobate mind. And I'm going to show you what is hidden when it comes to AOC and this agenda right now. And her saying, oh, we welcome Trump. Oh, no, we would welcome Trump voters. Oh, no, hear me out. We'll welcome them in. And all of a sudden, right, she's in the middle of fighting with Schumer trying to reach across the aisle. But let me show you what's hidden in this. Now, because she's from New York. Keep this in mind. She is a Democrat from New York. And I'm going to show you. Because prophetically, New York is following a timeline like the Book of Esther. Something is hidden within this woman's name that ties to that prophetic. If this prophetic timeline is running throughout New York, which is a cross-section of what's happening in the nation, there's going to be something that is hidden that ties within her name to the rest of the timeline. So I'll show you, and you'll see where I'm going with this in just a minute here. So Zoram Mamdani, right, was just elected mayor in New York City, and I've shown this before, but hidden within his name is Haman, right? And Governor Kathleen Hochul of New York foolishly endorsed Mamdani, and hidden within their name is Amalek, because Haman is from the line of Amalek in the Book of Esther. Elise Marie Stefanik announced to run for governor of New York against Kathleen Hochul. Hidden within their matchup is Esther, is the word Esther, as well as Susa, which was the capital in the Book of Esther. Now, we get to Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, because Haman cast lots to attempt to steal the kingdom, launch a coup, and destroy the people of God. So he's going to try to destroy the people of God first and then launch a coup and actually try to take the kingdom. That's what was going on. So when it comes to what she's doing right now, if she's from New York, she should somehow fit in to this prophetic timeline. So let me show you what's hidden within Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, New York 14th District. That's her official title. Ready? It's interesting because the word Satan is hidden in this, which I find interesting because you hear that saying, the devil is in the details. But what's also hidden in this is cast lots, steal, and destroy, right? So hidden within this is cast lots, right? Because Satan influenced Haman to cast lots, to steal and destroy. Now, how does that fit into Esther? Haman, I'll show you. Haman cast lots in order to destroy the people of God that Esther was attached to. So you see, hidden within her name is the actual word cast lots, steal, and destroy. which lines right up with the prophetic timeline that is unfolding in New York having to do with the book of Esther. This is why she's rising up now, because Haman has to cast lots. If you notice, as the shutdown's happening, as Mamdani gets elected, she is rising up. It's because those lots have to be cast in order to follow that prophetic timeline. And it's right there in plain sight. Cast lots, steal, destroy. I mean, that literally is hidden in here, and it follows the rest of the timeline and the players that are emerging right now in New York State. This is not an accident. This is prophetic. And I will tell you what she's doing. I will tell you why that's in her name. She is casting lots for the leadership of her own party first and their destruction. Because Haman cast lots for the destruction, right, of those he thought were standing in his way. You see, Haman knew, Mordecai knew what Haman was doing. Mordecai knew Haman wanted to be king. Mordecai knew it was never about just being the prime minister for Haman. And so Haman cast lots to move out of the way what is deemed as a roadblock to him seizing the kingdom. So she's casting lots for the leadership of her own party and their destruction, as well for her opponents, as we are watching what's unfolding in New York. This literally is what is happening. And I will tell you, when lots are cast, decrees of destruction go out to steal and destroy. When lots are cast, decrees of destruction go out to steal and destroy. So if the lots are cast, if that is involved, you could bank it that there are decrees of destruction now that are going to attempt to go out. Now, on top of it, to continue this storyline, Mamdani, who has Haman in his name, man's got Haman in his name, wants a meeting with the king. He wants a meeting now with President Trump. He is literally asking, Haman is asking for a meeting with the president. Haman is literally asking for that. The man who has this in his name suddenly wants a meeting. And I will tell you why you have to watch and be careful of this. When Haman met with the king the first time, he persuaded the king for a decree of destruction. When Haman attempted to meet with the king the second time to actually have Mordecai hanged, Esther 2 and the attempt on the king's life comes back into play, because Mordecai exposed the plot in Esther 2 of the two guards conspiring against the king. So if Haman wants a meeting with the leader, you can see it coming that an Esther 2 moment is going to come in this nation. The guards conspiring to kill the king, because that is what happened. It was put in the book of records. Then when Haman comes to ask for Mordecai to be hanged, he doesn't know the king has read the records and realized that Mordecai saved his life. So if you see this coming, Esther 2 is in play right now. Esther 2 is in play in the nation, right? And the Lord exposed the plot. So we just have to continue to pray for the Lord to expose that plot. But this is all because New York is the carotid artery to Washington, D.C. So if this prophetic timeline is unfolding in New York, it literally is traveling down into D.C. Okay? It's connected. So we have to watch for that, because Haman wants a meeting. He wants a meeting. And something's up. I'm telling you, decrees of destruction, Esther 2 moment. Watch and pray with those things. This is why we have to be watchmen on the wall, and we have to learn as the church how to function in the capacity of what is happening around us, meaning we have to influence and uncover the things that are happening in order to be the salt and light in the nation. A complacent church is the kind of church that Satan wants. A church that doesn't want to take the gloves off is the kind of church that Satan wants functioning. He wants them in complacency, in compromise, and he wants their vision blocked so they can't see these things, understand what's happening, so that you can actually intercede, pray, and begin to dismantle the inner workings of the plot in the name of Jesus Christ. This is why, you know, the disciples functioned in their day. What do I mean by that? The disciples understood the culture of the day. They understood the culture of the Roman Empire. They understood what was going on in Ephesus. They understood what was going on in Smyrna. They understood, right, what was going on in Laodicea. They understood the temperature of the day. They understood how the Romans operated. They understood how the Jewish temple operated. They understood how the synagogue of Satan operated. They understood the inner workings of that hierarchy and what was happening, in order then that they could pierce through it with the anointing that God had given them to break those bondages, chains, strongholds, and wake the people up. They functioned within the capacity, understanding the dynamic and the structure and the ecosystem of that day. We are called to do the same now. We as the modern church are called to do the same now. And we have to be that fiery voice for the Lord. That fiery voice that pierces through the corruption, that pierces through the noise, that pierces through the lies, that pierces through the nonsense. Because the church has gotten bogged down with an awful, awful lot of muck and mire and complacency that has happened, that has in a way immobilized it from being the effective force and transcending and eclipsing society in order to wake the people up. We are meant to transcend and eclipse society. We're called a peculiar people for a reason. And it's okay to support people, but ultimately, let me tell you how Mordecai operated. Mordecai lived in Persia, Mordecai and Esther. Mordecai honored the king, but he served and was loyal to Almighty God. He honored the authority of the king and the position of the king. That's why when he heard the plot, the Esther 2 plot, he exposed it. But ultimately, his loyalty, his obedience belonged to Almighty God. And that is how we have to function in that capacity. And so we're going to talk about here. We're going to talk about this a little more with America First here. So let's bring up the article, please. Trump ran on America First. Now he views presidency as a worldwide situation. This is from the Los Angeles Times, which, you know, we all know how they are, but it says on the campaign trail, Donald Trump was unapologetic about putting America first. He promised to secure the nation's borders, strengthen the domestic workforce, and be tough on countries he thought were taking advantage of the United States. Now, 10 months into his second term, okay, I want you, 10 months, when was this article written? Do we know when this article was written? That's very interesting. They're saying that. 10 months into his second term, November 15th. Okay. 10 months into his second term, the president is facing backlash from some conservatives who say he is too focused on matters abroad, whether it's seeking regime change in Venezuela, brokering peace deals in Ukraine and Gaza, or extending a $20 billion currency swap for Argentina. The criticism has grown in recent days. Okay. After Trump expressed support for granting more visas to foreign students and skilled immigrant workers, the cracks in the MAGA movement, which have been more pronounced in recent weeks, underscore how Trump's one impenetrable political base is wavering as the president appears to embrace a more global approach to governing. He says, I have to view the presidency as a worldwide situation, not locally, Trump said this week when asked to address the criticism at the Oval Office event. We could have a world that's on fire where wars come to our shores very easily if you have a bad president. So what he's saying is he's got to watch the world for the sake of protecting America. For backers of Trump's MAGA movement, the conflict is forcing some to weigh loyalty to an America First ideology over a president they have long supported and who in some cases inspired them to get involved in the political process. Okay. I am against foreign aid, foreign wars, and sending a single dollar to foreign countries, Rep. Marjorie Taylor Greene. That woman needs prayer. I don't know how else to say it. And I'm going to say this too. Trump shouldn't be openly fighting with her like this. That is being drawn into frivolous matters that really, in the scheme of what's happening, don't matter right now. Who in recent weeks has become more critical of Trump's policies, said in a social media post Wednesday, I am America first and America only. Okay, this is my way and there's no other way to be. Oh, really? According to who? Because that's not even scriptural. What she's saying isn't even scriptural. She can't say Jesus out of one side and then say a kind of sentence like this. But I'm going to talk about this because this has come to the forefront more and more. America first, America first, America first. And we're going to break this down. We're going to break this down. Okay. So let's get into what this really means, because there's a lot of noise out there. And all I'm saying is, Mr. President, you know, be careful with the noise, because there's a lot of it right now. We have to be careful with America first, because it easily leads to hyper extremism. This happened in Germany. And I'm watching similar patterns happen here. And I want you to hear me out on this and understand, because I'm going to bring a biblical worldview into this as well. Now, what innocently started, right? America first innocently starts as let's clean up our schools for our kids, deal with drug trafficking and the crisis, clean up our streets, take care of our veterans, deal with the homeless, you know, don't dump tons of corrupt money into other nations before we clean up the issues in our nations. What started off as some of those principles and ideas has now mutated. We are watching a mutation happen. You know why? Because when you always try to put something first and ascend it to the point in some ways of idolatry and a deity, it's going to mutate. The door is going to open and it is going to mutate. And we're watching that mutation. Let me give you an example with this. It's like the flu virus that may have started off just as a flu virus, right? But then someone in a high security lab decided to take it and mutate it and turn it into something destructive, divisive, toxic, long-lasting, give it a crown, and it begins a destructive, soul-altering process. We witnessed that with COVID. We witnessed that process with COVID. This is what we are, in a way, actively watching happen with America First. There is a chain tethered to a dark past having to do with this, one we should be very aware of when the self-restraint is not present, when reprobate minds become the lead architects. We suddenly, and hijack the process, we find ourselves looking back and going, how did this happen? How did this happen, right? Kim Clement talked about, also, remember he would talk about the rise of a Fourth Reich, right? And that word Reich has to do with Germany. Well, let's go back to Germany for a minute. Yep, it's just like that. Something common gets put in a high security lab, I just saw somebody's comment, and gets mutated. Well, a bunch of people that have gone down a path of darkness and reprobatedness and perversion in their thinking has taken that initial concept and mutated it in high security stakes and now have become the architects of something that is rapidly mutating, okay? Rapidly. Let's go back to Germany. We're going to take a trip back to Germany for a second. Now, During Hitler's regime, the Germany First agenda, yes, there was a Germany First agenda, focused on prioritizing the needs and expansion of Germany, particularly through aggressive military actions and the establishment of a totalitarian state. This included the pursuit of, it was called Lebensraum, living space, for the Aryan race, which justified the invasion of neighboring countries and the implementation of policies aimed at racial purity and national strength. Now, the Germany First agenda fundamentally reshaped German society, politics as well, leading to aggressive foreign policies and ultimately contributing to the outbreak of World War II. The focus on nationalism and militarization had devastating consequences both for Germany and the world. And the early agenda of this treated trade and globalization through a lens of economic nationalism, protectionism, and a push toward something called autarky, prioritizing domestic control over international integration and using tariffs as immediate political tools upon taking power in 1933. Now, the United States, when it was formed, when America started, they had tariffs back then too. There's nothing wrong inherently in itself with with mutual tariffs, you know, with nations that trade. It's when you take that and then it gets tethered and tied to a bunch of other things that you begin to see, you know, at times a mutation happen. Now, when Hitler became chancellor in January of 1933, his administration rapidly embraced tariffs and visible economic nationalism as part of an effort to stabilize domestic politics before the March Reichstag elections. So he literally was trying to stabilize an economic base and foundation in order for him to try to take the election. Now, the economic thought pattern of the Nazi Party combined ideological and anti-globalization rhetoric. Okay, blaming, now listen to this, blaming foreign capital and international influences with policy prescriptions aimed at greater self-sufficiency. Historians point out the ideological roots in Nazi texts and the political message that tariffs would return economic control to the Germans. Okay, translation, blaming other nations internally for Germany's problems. We are going to blame foreign capital, and we're going to blame international influences, and we're going to begin to shift the narrative onto them for all of our problems. Now, what they also did, they prioritized national economic control over multilateral cooperation. While this stance resonated domestically, internationally, this is what it did. It complicated Germany's access to raw materials and markets, pressures that pushed the regime toward territorial and political solutions, including aggressive trade and resource strategies abroad. So in them trying to isolate, they were cutting off other nations in which they needed to trade with. And so what happened was they backed themselves into a corner where then they began to resort to using military force to then try to take those nations instead. Okay. So interestingly enough, it appears President Trump is trying to balance this by actually making trade deals with nations and by actually going and visiting other leaders of nations and attempting to establish an open line of communication and trade, okay? Which, you know, in a global setting, you have to deal with other leaders of the earth. If you are a leader in a nation that is considered a superpower, you are going to have to deal with many other nations in the earth. And considering that what's happening in the earth is becoming a cauldron and a hotbed of activity right now, you've got Israel and Gaza, you've got Ukraine and Russia, you've got China that just threatened Japan and threatened to literally decapitate the head of its new leader, the lady that got elected prime minister of Japan. China just sent a threat to Japan that was so forceful that Japan better not get involved in its business with Taiwan. Now, all of a sudden, you know why you've got that percolating right now? Because next year, China is going into the year of the fire horse. On their calendar, it is the year of the fire horse. Fire, right? So that's why all of a sudden you see China now beginning to rear up too. But so interestingly enough, he's doing this with other nations. So he's actually going to other nations and he's speaking with them and he's opening communication lines with them and he's doing all that. And he did that, I believe, the first term as well. But every fringe group right now, every fringe group is attempting to hijack America First. Because ultimately, for America to be great, Almighty God has to be in his proper place, right? So it should be, you know, I wish there was a better way in English to explain this, but it should be God first, and America is a tool in the hands of God. You see, that's what it should be. And I'll tell you why it should be that way. Because every fringe group now, because of America First, because of what it's tethered to and the history that those agendas are tethered to, is trying to hijack it, make it their own, mutate it into the same hyper extreme beast that it became in other nations in history in the earth, which actually led to many foreign wars. So actually, that agenda in Germany led to an enormous foreign war called World War II. That's what led to it. That was the powder keg that blew and ended up causing that. It led to them not being able to acquire resources they needed, which led to lack within Germany, which then became the igniter to aggressive military action to now attempt to take over and control other nations. It was an attempt to take over and control other nations in order for their resources as well. We in this nation witnessed almost simultaneously when America First began being touted, the rise of the outcry of Amalek, which happened in Germany as well. So as the idea of America First is beginning to rise, the outcry of Amalek is getting louder and louder and louder. Simultaneously, we watch the door of extremism get opened on multiple fronts when it came to our borders being flooded, when it came to Palestinian protests, when it came to Israel and the extremism now surrounding the debate on Israel, when it came to Muslim groups with the intent to take over America, went into the streets. When it came to socialism and extreme wings of parties, they took center stage all of a sudden. The gateways opened and extremism in all forms arose out of the abyss of a political Pandora's box that began to open with the idea of America First. As America First was pushed and peddled, all of a sudden rose from the ranks of the Conservative Party offshoots of anti-Israel, conspiracies of all kinds, of accusations of all kinds of their involvement in America, making them the true scapegoat for the situation we find ourselves in. Now, I'm going to tell you something interesting about this. You know, the scapegoat was released in the Old Testament on none other than Yom Kippur, the day of repentance and atonement. That's when the scapegoat in scripture was released to atone for the sins of the people. October 1st, 2025, the United States government shut down on Yom Kippur on a date that equals 9/11. And it was repent 911. And this happens after all of this rhetoric arises and we watch the scapegoats be sent out into the wilderness. That is not an accident. That is prophetic. The scapegoats begin to have the sins of the people laid on them. Be blamed for the sins of the people, right? Be blamed for what's going on in this nation. And as that's happening with the scapegoat, because the scapegoat, there were two of them, I believe, on Yom Kippur. One was killed and one was released into the wilderness with the sins of the people. As that's happening here, and we're watching the scapegoats go out in this nation, that's when the government shuts down. On Yom Kippur, on a date that equals 9/11. Repent 9/11. Scapegoats in the Old Testament had to be sacrificed for such. And interestingly enough, the Jews found themselves the very scapegoats that their sins would be cast upon in the Old Testament. And instead of recognizing the very biblical principles that were prophetically playing out, they tried to escape to those they were in contention with. And they elect in New York City Zohran Mamdani, the man that has Haman in his name. As scapegoats, they ran right into the hands of their persecutor. So as this is happening, they turn around and they go, and instead of recognizing this, they put their trust in the arms of flesh instead of the right hand of God. And there is a scripture in Jeremiah. I'm going to find it right now. I believe it's in Jeremiah. Okay. His trust in the arms of flesh. Hold on. Okay, Jeremiah 17:5. Thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord. Jeremiah 17:5. And we watch that happen before our very eyes. And I perceive it to be the Lord showed me this today when I heard scapegoat and Yom Kippur. And I remembered that what happens with the two goats on Yom Kippur and the sins of the people were cast on those goats. And one of them was released into the wilderness until it died. And we watch then after that rhetoric rise in the nation, the government shuts down on Yom Kippur. Repent 9/11. Now, I don't think that's just for America. I think that's a warning to Israel also. I think that's a warning to Netanyahu and his cabinet. Repent 9/11. See, I believe it's a warning to both nations, to both leaderships of both nations when it comes to that. Then in the midst of this, we see Nick Fuentes and others arising as well with hyper extremism, the kind of hyper extremism that sent Germany into a demonic tailspin. Extremism not rooted in biblical doctrine at all, but rooted in chains, rooted in a dark past, tethered to extreme ideology that opens up the door and the gateway for chaos to erupt. It's rising now because America First was the gate that opened and then left unattended. So America First was a gate that was opened in this nation that then was left unattended and unguarded. And Absalom was able to stand at the gate. Obama's name is hidden within the word Absalom. So hidden within the word Absalom, interestingly enough, is the name Obama. Absalom could stand at the gate with his conspiracies and with those 50 men to run before him so they would grow strong. He stood at an unattended gate that David left unattended, and the conspiracy from him working that gate grew strong, and offshoots of extremism in many forms would arise from that unattended gate of America First. So it was touted, and then it became an unattended gate that then gatekeepers, Absaloms, began to go and stand at that gate and contend for the people who wanted to see their nation thrive. Absalom stood at the gate of David's nation and contended to steal the hearts of the people away from David by utilizing their desire for their nation to thrive, by capitalizing on David's shortcomings at the moment, on capitalizing upon the fact that David had made some mistakes, and the gatekeepers, the Absaloms, went to the gate of America First and began trying to woo the people away from what the Lord had intended. And I will tell you this. Of course, Satan doesn't want you to believe that these events happened back in Germany, because that's part of this extremism. Of course, the enemy doesn't want you to believe that these events really happened in Germany, because if he can get the world to forget, if he can get a nation to forget, he can come back with a vengeance and do it again. Why do you think there are so many reminders right now of 9/11? 9/11, 9/11, events that equal 9/11, dates that equal 9/11, months, times, seasons. The government shutdown happened on a day that equals 9/11. Because it's a warning. Because if he can get the world to forget, he can come back with a vengeance and do it again. Because when the world forgets, they leave an unlocked door unattended for the enemy to walk in. Satan desires to get you to forget the consequences of the past, so he can alter the futures of nations and peoples. If the consequences of actions are a vapor, then the aroma is not there for you to smell and remember. This is part of his agenda with what has arisen and broken loose in this nation. If he could get the consequences to become a vapor, to become intangible, to become forgotten, to become lost, then the people don't remember the consequence for the action, and Satan is allowed with a vengeance to commit that atrocity all over again. If he can make you forget the aroma of the consequence, and this is for your own lives too, if he can make you forget the aroma of the consequence, he can get you to repeat it again. If you don't remember what played out, the consequences, the pain, the what unfolded from that action, there's no boundary in place stopping you from repeating it again. The consequence is the portion for the action. It's the same thing with the nation. The enemy can get the nation to forget. If he can get them to forget the aroma of what happened, then there is nothing there to make them realize they're repeating it. In fact, 2 Corinthians 11:14 says, "And no wonder, for Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light." Revelation 12:9 says, "The great dragon was hurled down, that ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, who leads the whole world astray." Not just some of the world. He's trying to lead the whole world astray. Not just America. He's trying to do it to the whole world. And I'm going to dig a little deeper into this with you right now. So when a man or a country is put first, you are literally placing something fallible in the position that the Lord should be in your life or over a nation. So you have replaced the supreme with something corrupt and fallible to now be in that position. It becomes, in a way, self-worship. This is why the gateway to Islamic extremism has opened and risen in this temperature. When the gate of America First was opened, left unattended, Absaloms came and stood at the gate, and you watched in the midst of this, the extremism of Amalek, the extremism with what was happening with the Palestinians, the extremism with Islam. You began to watch extremism in the Democratic Party with the socialist, communist, whatever you want to call them, wing arising. In this temperature, because America First, when it's not spiritually corralled and put in the perspective that it should be, is the gateway that opens to extremism of all kinds. Anything that is not strongly tethered to the word of God, that wants to put itself first, is not in line with what the Creator created. Even in a marriage, right? It's supposed to be Almighty God, then your spouse, right? This is supposed to be the order. Almighty God, then your spouse, then your kids, then your job, or however order, you know, there's some debate on that, but I'm saying that's the order. So what happens is, if you then take that order and say, you know what? Nope, it's going to be my spouse first, and you take that and you move it up here. Well, now you have tried to supersede and transcend the creator of the order of the earth. This is why we're watching the chaos erupt that is erupting. This is why you see schisms and fractures happening within both political parties, because they're both being exposed, the underbelly of the beast, and what they're really tethered to, which really is nothing that is totally stable with the word of God. So both of them now are being exposed because of this. In fact, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 2 through 5 says, "For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, and profane." And it says, "They will be unloving, devoid of natural human affection, calloused, inhumane, irreconcilable, malicious gossips, devoid of self-control, brutal, haters of good, traitors, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding to a form of outward godliness," like throwing the name of God around, "although they have denied its power. For their conduct nullifies their claim of faith." For their conduct nullifies the claim. If somebody has a claim of faith and their conduct is the antithesis, and what comes out of their mouth is the antithesis of that claim, they have nullified it. Avoid such people and keep far away from them. Avoid such people. All of that I read right now is going on within both parties, is going on within the conservative movement, is going on with the conservative podcasters, is going on in the church right now. All of what I just read from 2 Timothy 3, 2 through 5 is going on right now. Every single one of those is being thrown around in this right now. Avoid such people and keep far away from them. Having a form of outward godliness, religion. If somebody has a form of religion, but denies every power of the miraculous working of the Creator in the earth, and trades that like a deck of playing cards at a poker table for conspiracy, for slander, for libel, for accusation, for division, They are doing exactly what 2 Timothy 3 verses 2 through 5 says. Is that interesting? We're in the year 2025 and it's verses 2 through 5. If the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, that means ultimately, the nations of the earth are available for the Lord to have them do his bidding whenever the Lord, as the creator, compels them to do so. In fact, Isaiah 9, verse 11, 9:11, therefore the Lord raises against Ephraim adversaries from Rezin and spurs their enemies on. Therefore, the Lord raised up adversaries from other nations that didn't even know him and spurred them on. So the Lord does spur on other nations when it comes to dealing with things within the earth. If the United States was raised up to be a proponent of the gospel in the earth, then truly it's not America first. That has mutated now into a beast, because the United States was raised up to be a proponent of the gospel and to send the gospel into the earth, a covenant made from New York City that Washington ratified. The land was dedicated in Virginia by a man named Robert Hunt, who came from England and dedicated America, what would become America, to the purposes of the gospel in the earth. Washington comes, ratifies that covenant from New York City, ground zero. That happened with 9/11. And the nation became in covenant with God, which means the United States then has to adhere to the contingencies of the covenant. So God will not stay his hand. It's not America first. It's God's covenant first, and making sure those contingencies are adhered to, because this is how the United States has gone astray many times before, because they did not adhere to the contingencies of the covenant. If the United States is truly in covenant with the Lord, if America is truly in covenant with the Lord, then they will rise or fall on the contingencies of such a covenant, which means it's what the Lord within the covenant says first. It's what Almighty God through covenant says first, what America should be, and will allow the consequences of such a covenant to take effect. Mark 16:15. And he said to them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. He didn't say disciples first, Paul first, church first. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. This first kind of mentality leads to a Fuhrer, F-U-H-R-E-R mentality. This is what happened in Germany. And when you see a global shift at times, you have to look at the end times as a whole, according to the Bible, the book of Revelation, Daniel, Ezekiel, Zechariah. I'm going to tell you there's another reason. There's another reason why suddenly America first is on the rise. And this has caused a schism, because that gate was left unattended and all the Absaloms are at the gate right now trying to woo the people. But there's another reason having to do with the end times that we see this on the rise right now. And it migrated in this direction. And I believe it has to do with Ezekiel chapter 38. Ezekiel chapter 38, verses 1 through 6 says, and the word of the Lord came to me, saying, son of man, set your face against Gog of the land of Magog, the chief ruler of Meshech and Tubal, and prophesy against him, and say, thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against you, O Gog, chief ruler of Meshech and Tubal. I will turn you around and put hooks in your jaws, and I will bring you out and all your army, horses and horsemen, all of them magnificently clothed in full armor, a great horde with buckler and large shield, all of them wielding swords, Persia, Cush, Put, with all of them with shield and helmet, Gomer and all its troops, Beth Togarmah from the remote parts of the north, and all its troops, and many peoples with you. Okay. That's the beginnings of the war of Ezekiel. Now, Ezekiel 38, 10 through 13 says from this, thus says the Lord God, it will come about on that day that thoughts will come into your mind and you will devise an evil plan. And you will say, I will go up against an open country. I will come against those who are at rest and peaceful, who live securely, all of them living without walls and having neither bars nor gates, to take spoil and seize plunder, to turn your hand against the ruins which are now inhabited, and against the people who are gathered from the nations, who have acquired cattle and goods, who live at the center of the world. Sheba and Dedan and the merchants of Tarshish with all its young lions will say to you, have you come to take spoil? Have you assembled your hordes of fighting men to seize plunder, to carry away silver and gold, to take away cattle and goods, to take great spoil? Now, Tarshish has been noted by scholars and archaeologists to be Britain, England. Britain's symbol is the lion. But it says, Tarshish and your young lions and your cubs. The United States is the one of the young cubs because it was birthed out of England. England is the lion. Tarshish is the lion. It's young cubs. We are one of the young cubs that was birthed from that. And when the war of Ezekiel comes, the United States will do nothing more than put out a strongly worded press statement condemning what this enormous army is about to do. The United States isn't going to get involved. America's not going to rush to Israel's aid. America is not going to send them planes. America's not going to send them bombs. America's not going to get involved. They are going to send out a strongly worded press statement condemning the acts of this enormous army that is going to march on Israel to annihilate them. No rushing militarily to the aid of Israel by God's design, because he will be the one ultimately who, in this case, rescues the nation of Israel, that the whole world may know that he is God. This is why you see this America First outcry just beginning to percolate and go forth to prepare the soil for such pieces to move into position, because it would be America First for them to put out a strongly worded press statement and condemn the acts of this enormous army that will march on Israel, but not get involved in a foreign war that's not theirs to be involved in. You see, America First is the schism that begins to form the canyon, that begins to separate America and Israel in some ways, so that when this happens, Tarshish's young cubs, we're one of them, just puts out a strongly worded press statement and condemns the acts of this enormous army. So this is why you're beginning to see this. Because of the end times, you're beginning to see America First. We have to pull out of every place else. We have to isolate. We don't want to be involved with Israel. We don't want to involve ourselves in this. We're going to pull everything back, because the war of Ezekiel's coming. And that's all America will do, is put out a press statement. Because America's looking out for themselves first. So you see, there's a biblical prophetic reason why you see a global shift in this and this happening. Meaning, by God's design, God wants to rescue Israel single-handedly himself, which means America can't get involved, which means America is going to be in a position where it doesn't want to get involved, but it just wants to put out a strongly worded press statement. And for that to happen, you're going to begin to see a migration and this talk of America First. What I'm saying is the soil is being tilled for this. Not that we're there, but I'm saying the soil is being tilled for what is coming with this. And yes, we know President Trump, he works with Israel. I'm saying the rhetoric in the nation is tilling the soil. And you know what? The word of God says, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. It does say that. You pray for their peace. You pray for their peace, but ultimately, when the war of Ezekiel comes, Almighty God is going to rescue them. In fact, Ezekiel chapter 38, verses 9 through 11 says, 9-11, 9-1-1, you will go up against them. You will come like a storm. You shall be like a cloud covering the land, you and all your troops and many peoples with you. Thus says the Lord God, it will come about on that day that thoughts will come into your mind and you will devise an evil plan. This is all verses 9 through 11. And you will say, I will go up against an open country. I will come against those who are at rest and peaceful, who live securely, all of them living without walls and having neither bars nor gates. That also, interestingly enough, was the United States of America before 9/11. And this is Ezekiel 38, verses 9 through 11. Not to say this is describing the exact act of 9/11, but there is a symbolism here of how the United States was living before 9/11. And it's very interesting that this and the imagery of this matches up to that. Yes, I would watch Japan very close right now. I'm telling you, that's about to blow like a powder keg, China and Taiwan. Let me tell you, this woman is a Margaret Thatcher type who has just been raised up in Japan. Watch what she does when China tries to advance. I'm telling you, that situation is about to blow like a powder keg over there right now. Matthew 24, verses 9 through 11, 9-11. Then they will hand you over to endure tribulation and will put you to death, and you will be hated by all nations because of my name. At that time, many will be offended and repelled by their association with me and will fall away from the one whom they should trust and will betray one another, handing over believers to their persecutors and will hate one another. We're watching that go on. Many false prophets will arise and mislead many because lawlessness is increased. The love of most people will grow cold, but the one who endures and bears up under suffering to the end will be saved. This good news of the kingdom, the gospel, will be preached throughout the whole world as a testimony to all the nations, and then the end of the age will come. The United States is meant to be a proponent of that. The United States is meant to be a proponent of that. There is a very serious spiritual war happening in the heavenlies. Very serious right now. Over not only this nation, over territories in the Middle East, over Europe. It's just erupted in Mexico. Enormous protests have just erupted in Mexico. Because you've got this spirit of uprising and rebellion and Haman and Absalom and everything percolating and overflowing in the earth right now. And they built a wall around the Palace of Mexico, you know, to protect President Sheinbaum, which, you know, that proves to me that Mexico knows how to build a wall when it suits them. They know how to build a wall when it's going to protect their interests. So found that interesting as well. But there is a spiritual war happening in the heavenlies, a very, very intense. That's why you're watching these fringe offshoots happen. This is why you're watching everyone run to the gate of America first and try to woo the people away from David and what David is doing. Absalom convinced the people David didn't know what he was doing. Absalom stood at the gate and convinced the people David had no clue what he was doing. And that is a deception that has to be uncovered right now, because I believe there are associations that are going to be associated with money that runs back to the Obamas on the conservative side, and it's going to be exposed in this time, in this season. I'm saying this right now under the unction of the Lord. There are those right now with a voice of influence on the conservative side that have been taking money that is tied back to the Obamas. Absalom. And that is going to be uncovered. And they were paid to make the conspiracy grow strong, to make David look like he didn't know what he was doing. Do I agree with everything that President Trump does? Probably not. But you know what? I pray for him. He's the leader of this nation, and he's not a perfect man, and I don't expect him to be. But you know what? That's who God appointed. And you know what? Being a conservative podcaster and running your mouth is a lot easier than dealing with the nations of this earth and having to lead a nation that completely went astray. And now you're dealing with the fallout from many, many corrupt leaders. And that's what Absalom did. Absalom had no experience in leadership. He was never king. He never ran an office in the kingdom. He never assisted David. He walked around and pranced around like the little PR prince that he was. And he wooed the people with no experience in leadership, no experience leading a nation, no experience in war, none. He wooed them at the gate, telling the people they should come first. Oh, David's not listening to you. Oh, if only I were just, I would get you justice. You should come first. Somebody that never led a day in their life. That's what you're watching happen. This is what you're watching happen. And I'm saying, as believers, we have to be careful. Yes, we can pray for candidates. Yes, we can support leaders and pray for leaders. Yes, we can do these things, but we have to be careful when it comes to what America First is tethered to. Because as the people of God, nothing is supposed to become above Almighty God, not a nation, not a tribe, not a tongue. So we have to be careful because they've hijacked it. And we're going back in time to that experiment in Germany. And the hyper-extremism that it birthed forth from it. It birthed forth young cubs. Young cubs of hyper-extremism that ended up running rampant. And you know what it did? It deceived the Christians in Germany. Do you know the Germany First agenda deceived the Christians in Germany and actually won them to Hitler's side? And so many were won to Hitler's side that that's how he was able to go forward with his diabolical plan of debauchery and destruction. Because the people perished for lack of knowledge and didn't have the vision to understand the gate that had been opened and that Absalom was there attending to it to woo the people to turn on David. We're watching the same thing happen. So we have to keep that in mind as we go forth. Pray about this. Pray about this because I just can't be sold out to whatever any person is saying on X about America First. No, do we want to be involved in endless foreign wars and giving $4 million to transgenders in Zimbabwe? No, that's irresponsible. You know what that's called? Not being a good steward of what God has given you. That's what it's called. Nobody wants that. Nobody in their right mind wants those things. But the gate's been opened. And this is the problem now we face. And this is why we have to pray because they're hijacking it. They are hijacking it and they are running with the hyper extremism in a temperature where people are fed up. The people of Germany were fed up. That's why Hitler was able to woo them. And if the enemy can forget, get you to forget all that happened in Germany, he can much easier be the architect here to build something similar again. And this is why President Trump needs prayer, because he is like a David and Absalom's at the gate. David did not deal with Absalom. David did not deal with Absalom the way Absalom needed to be dealt with. David allowed Absalom to move about unchecked, undealt with. He wasn't held accountable for what he did. He was allowed to steal, kill, and destroy in the kingdom, and David never brought him to justice. And that's why David was removed as king for a short period of time, and Absalom was able to take the kingdom. And I'm telling you, if Absalom is not dealt with, we're going to see the same thing happen in this nation at about the 2-year mark of Trump's presidency. If Absalom is not dealt with, we are going to watch a very similar situation unfold in Trump's presidency that unfolded with David and Absalom around the 2-year mark. That is coming. And we need to pray and be watchmen and intercede for this because I'm telling you, the gate's open now. Absalom's there. And he's chosen men to run ahead of him and announce him. And that's all the people you see out there right now. All the extremism. That's what's going on. Absalom's only out for himself. He's not red or blue. He's a lover of self. He's a lover of self. And we have to remember that going forth. Praise the Lord. I'm all heat up after that. Pray. We got to end this, though. We got to land this plane because it's at an hour and 30 minutes. We have to land the plane. So we're going to now start to land the plane. Please put your seats back in the upright position. Buckle your seatbelts. Put your tray tables back locked in their position. Okay. So Anaheim and Phoenix, I'm going to be there in both places. So I'm going to be speaking at Influence Church. Clay Clark is having a business conference out there. I'm going to be speaking biblically from a biblical perspective. Eric Trump is going to be there as well. So you can get your tickets now. You could go to arcofgrace.org/events to get more information on this, to click on it for it to take you to the website. We have our other events there as well. We also have information you might need, our address, information to sites, ways if you would like to get involved. We have all of that there. And we also have Phoenix. So while I'm out there, I'll be stopping in Phoenix, and I'm going to be part of David Herzog and Miss Stephanie Herzog's Festival of Miracles and Lights, December 4th through 7th. So I believe I will be speaking Sunday evening, which I think is the 7th, starting, I think, at about 7 p.m. So you can go to theglorizone.org as well to learn more. Praise the Lord. And Brace for Impact, we're going to put Brace for Impact up. This is at arcofgrace.org on the main page. You scroll down, you can click on pre-order now. It is on Amazon. We are bracing for impact. Let me tell you, with what is happening in the nation, and I remember saying, I said, if you think Trump's going to get elected and everything's going to be fine, think again, because this is going to be a fight. And it absolutely has been. So if you would like to order it, I talk about going all the way to 2028 in this book. This is a highly prophetic book. So you can order it now on Amazon. We're going to put up our social media handles for you quickly as well. So we would love it if you would follow and keep in touch, and subscribe and follow to the platforms. So we are on Rumble, YouTube, and TikTok, Ark of Grace Ministries. On Telegram and Truth Social, we're Ark of Grace Ministries. On Facebook, we're Ark of Grace Ministry with a Y. On Instagram, we're Ark of Grace 88. On X, we're at AmandaGrace_AOG. We have our Ark of Grace app in the App Store. Search Ark of Grace. You'll see the dove with the olive branch as well. And we also have the Sanctuary social media on TikTok and Facebook. We're Ark of Grace Sanctuary. You can keep up with all the happenings of the animals and what is going on with the sanctuary part of the ministry. We are also on pray.com. You search Amanda Grace on pray.com. And we are on there Tuesdays and Thursday mornings as well. And we're just going to put up Givaderm and Grid Down Chow Down. So this is Givaderm. These ladies not only love the Lord, they make an incredible skincare line that is all natural. It is food for your face. I use it twice a day. My husband uses it as well. And they make amazing soaps as well, body lotion, scrubs, and a full face system that is absolutely incredible. And it actually is nourishing. It's a wonderful gift as well. If you have loved ones in your life that you want to kind of try to switch up their skincare, give them something more natural, but very effective. You can go to arcofgrace.org/ministry-partners and use promo code ARC10 for a 10% discount. You can use that on every single order. And then we as well have Grid Down Chow Down. These wonderful brothers make an amazing product. This is grass-fed, grass-finished beef that has a 10 to 15-year shelf life, a salvation track in every bag because they take preaching the gospel seriously. They not only have the freeze-dried beef, but they also have grass-fed, grass-finished jerky for humans, and then they have grass-fed, grass-finished beef jerky snacks for your pets as well. So you can go to arcofgrace.org/ministry-partners. Use promo code ARC for a discount. Missy and Cyrus love the jerky. It is grass-fed. Grass-finished is not another blessed ingredient in it. It is so healthy for your pets, and it is healthy for you and your family. With everything that is happening with the food supply, it is wonderful that you can be a blessing to local farmers that actually care about taking care of these animals and treating them well, but as well as being able to know what is in your food. So you can go there as well, to arcofgrace.org/ministry-partners, if you would like to look into any of their amazing products. And that's all for tonight, guys. I know it was a little longer. We got on a roll there. Praise the Lord. We will be back on Thursday, I believe. So Thursday, we will be coming back on live. Buster probably will still be with us. He might probably be back in the office for that live as well. So I want to thank everybody for watching. Oh, come here so everyone can see you. Say hi, everyone. This is your debut, your worldwide debut, little one. This is it right here. God bless everyone. Armor up according to Ephesians chapter 6. Psalm 91, I say it every single day. I encourage you to say it every single day. Also, we have Psalms 1, 23, 34, 35, and 51, as well as Ephesians 1, 16 through 20, and 3, 14 through 19. I say those scriptures every single day, as well as the Lord's Prayer in Matthew, which Jesus taught his disciples to pray that way. We should be incorporating that into our prayer life, as well as Hebrews chapter 11. We also want to encourage you with Isaiah 40, 31. Those who wait on the Lord shall and will renew their strength. Thank you, everyone, for watching. Thank you to our team. Have a wonderful evening, everyone. Keep the faith, and we'll see you back on live on Thursday. Hello, everyone. Amanda Grace here. So, as many of you know, Dr. Mark Sherwood and Dr. Michelle Sherwood of the Functional Medical Institute are mine and Chris's doctors. And so I went to Dr. Sherwood with a problem that I was seeing, not only with what I was going through, but with what other women were going through concerning their metabolism, concerning energy, concerning their hormones. And so we put our heads together, and we are very happy now to finally be able to present to you Rapha for women. Rapha means healer in Hebrew, so it is an ode to the Lord because he is our healer. He put things in the earth that help heal us. And so Rapha is a product that was created for that. It also helps by helping with a healthy metabolism and natural hormones, as well as it helps balance fatigue. It helps with weight gain, night sweats, mood swings, blood sugar issues, and more. It is all natural, and I find more and more people are going into the natural arena in order to find solutions to issues that they're going through. So if you'd like to learn more, you could go to www.arcofgrace.org/ministry-partners to learn more about Rapha today. God bless.